said that I was going to start hunting so that I had all kinds of great hunting stories and illustrations for you. And let me tell you, I have all kinds of hunting stories and illustrations to tell you. When I was back in Grace, in Port Hope, I was a worship leader, and I was going to school at the same time, and the pastor, he kept telling me, he said, "Well, when are you going to start teaching us the things that you're learning?" And I just kind of looked at him strange, and I'm like, "Well, I take those things in, and they become part of who I am. It's part of my lived experience. And when I come up and I lead worship, or I come whatever it is I'm doing, those things that I've learned will continue to influence me and the way that I conduct myself." Now, one of the things that I have learned since I became a pastor, and well, I'll get to that, but first the bad news. The bad news is I'm not going to share any hunting stories with you today. Maybe some of you are happy to hear that, and others are pretty disappointed. They're like, "Really, that's the only reason we came? We wanted to hear these stories because we know that you were hunting." But one of the things that I've come to realize over the years that I've been pastoring is sometimes I will start with a great story. It'll be a good story. And then I'll go and I'll preach my message, and then I'll be shaking hands after the message, and somebody will say, "Oh, that story was so good. Let me tell you how I related to that story." And I'm like, you probably didn't hear anything that I said after that story that I gave, because you were just so enamored with the illustration that you were like, "Oh yeah, that was such a good time when that happened to me." And so, sadly, I'm not going to share any hunting stories today. They might come out in the past, or in the past. They might come out in the past. Well, they might come out in the future. But today, for this sermon, they're going to have to wait. Now, if you brought a Bible, we're going to read from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And it's on page 916. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can use the Pew Bible on that page there. So, Romans 7, verse 1. "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." Amen. As I was preparing to come up for the announcements, Bailey read through that, and he's like, "Whoa, you got a doozy you got to work through today." And this is the funny part about this passage that I read here today. How many people got distracted by the first paragraph? When Paul is writing here and he's talking about divorce and adultery, like, how many people are like, "Oh yeah, let's hear what he's got to say about that"? But look at what it says. It says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example." That is the example that Paul gives. There's no debating the law. The law says what it says, and it states what it states. But Paul is using that as an example. But just like had I opened with a hunting story, people have been distracted by this story. They're like, "Oh, what is this? What does this mean? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for my brother or my sister who's been divorced, and how do they move forward in accordance with this passage?" But this is just the example. That's not what this passage is really talking about, because the law is the law. It's laid out quite plainly. But when we get to the second paragraph, it says, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to whom was raised from the dead." The example that we see here is not, it has nothing to do with divorce and remarrying. It has to do with how important is your baptism to you. Your baptism symbolizes a choice that you made. It was you who felt that the Lord had changed your heart, that you recognized the mercy and the grace that God has brought into your life, and you made that choice to die. So just like the example of death and how death changes the relationship, we have died to our old self. We are now divinely promised to Christ. We have made that decision that we have accepted his engagement proposal. Because we could talk about the marriage, and we know that the marriage of the Lamb is going to happen. In fact, that is really what we're hoping to attend. We're all hoping to be a part of that wedding feast. I know you've read it. I know that people love to read about the book of Revelation and how there will be a wedding, and there the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And so right now, we are living in that engagement period. I shared with you earlier that I guess it was October, within a week span, both of our boys became engaged. I don't think it was a surprise to them. It was a bit of a surprise to us, at least one of them. But so now they're moving into a new relationship. Now when we died to self, regardless of whether it was in a pool or when it was in a baptismal tank or whether it was in a lake, we, each and every one of us who has surrendered to the water of baptism, have made a choice that we have chosen to live for Christ. For that relationship becomes the most important relationship in our lives. Is anybody here in a relationship or has been in a relationship? Those things can be a little tricky, can't they? If you want to do what you want to do, and just that relationship is not going to get very far. There's some relationship things that you have to surrender. Now Christ has already surrendered quite a lot. You can say, well, why doesn't he have to give anything? Well, I'm, hey, Jesus Christ has given everything for you. That eternal relationship that he had with the Father, he severed for you so that he could be a sacrifice, a perfect lamb to reconcile us and our mess with a holy God. That is, Jesus has done more than enough, more than we can ever repay. How many people have been baptized? Maybe just, all right. Were you forced into that baptism? I see some no's and some, oh, maybe I was. But the baptism that the Bible speaks of is a baptism that we freely agreed to. We entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ because we want to be as one. Because that's what a relationship is. If you cannot have two independent people in one relationship. They have to come together as one. That's from all the way back in Genesis. A man will leave his father and his mother to be joined together, and they will become one flesh. There has to be a compromise. As I said, Jesus has already made that. He's made a pretty big compromise for us. And now it's time for us, because I cannot make this point clear enough. If we've made that choice, we have something to live up to. Now, how many people who have been or are in a relationship remember when that relationship first started? Yeah, it was golden. How many people remember the first time, like the day that they were baptized? Like that day, like that was, hey, that was a beautiful day, was it not? I wasn't there for most of them, but it was a beautiful day. I am guarantee. I don't know anybody who freely chose to be baptized and then decided, well, that was a mistake. that was pretty glum. Like that is a beautiful, beautiful day. Now don't you want that feeling of peace, that feeling of joy, and feeling his presence? Shouldn't it continue? Do we feel the same way that we do as when we first came out of that water? Do you remember that sensation of coming out of the water, a new creation, having surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ, knowing that he loved you and that you loved him? Is your love equal to that day? Because that is how important our baptism was. It wasn't simply something that we did because we were a certain age or because an elder said that we should do those things. It is vitally, vitally important. Because, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, that you might belong to God, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God. And I can tell you, and you probably already know this, God cares deeply about those people that are not here today. God cares deeply about those people who are standing in opposition, that defiantly say that there is no God, that God has, I'm angry at God because of what he has taken away from my life. God cares for those people, and he's calling us to care for those people. As we continue in this relationship and as we continue to to get closer to Christ and more like Christ, because that is the goal. The goal of Scripture, the goal of coming to church, the goal of reading your Bible every day and praying is so that you may be transformed into His likeness. We're not here to fight against and be shown that, oh no, I'm right on this. I enjoy playing music, practicing music to a metronome, because a metronome is going to be always on beat. And I can use that to help myself to become a better musician. Professionals have a click. They have a metronome that plays in their ear. You know, these are people that have dedicated their entire life. They have perfect pitch and all that stuff. Maybe they've missed out on some social skills. But they know music, but they have that click to keep them in time. But I know a lot of people that are like, I want the metronome to play with me. That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't make sense. We can't read Scripture to affirm our belief. I was in class this week, and we were doing this. It's an ethics course on medical decisions at the end of life. And we were doing this case study, and somebody, they said, how would you want, if this was the stance you were supposed to take or wanted to take, what would you want your pastor to say to me? And now I'm the only pastor in this class, so I didn't say anything. But the only two people that actually said anything, they said, well, I would want my pastor to affirm my decision. Even though it might not have been right as far as the Bible is concerned, I would like the pastor to tell me that it was okay, that I was still a good Christian, even though I didn't want to help in this situation. Now, I can tell you, I pretty much checked out after that. I was like, how can you go to church looking for affirmation? If you're looking for affirmation, you don't need to go to church. And if that is not at all why we have committed to this relationship with Christ. We have committed to this relationship. We have surrendered to the water of baptism to be transformed so that the fruit that we produce is no longer the fruit of death, but it is the fruit that brings life. I know that it can be very difficult for somebody who grew up in the church, we've just always been in church our entire life. That was just what we did from the time that we could sit still. And let me tell you, we sat still. Because if we didn't sit still, we got the eye, or we got the Bible across the knee, something. For those people, hey, you have no idea how fortunate you are. But at the same time, there is a difficulty that you don't have that experience to fall back on, that, oh yeah, no, I am a different person since I've known Christ. Because Christ, His Spirit, it transforms us if we will allow it. And if you look at the story of the prodigal son, this prodigal son had to leave, and he blew all his money, and he was eating with pigs. And he was like, I'm going to go back because this life sucks. There has to be a better life back at home. And we all know that story. And the father saw him from a distance, and he goes and he embraces him, and he has this celebration that his son has come home. But then the oldest son said, well, what about me? I've been here the whole time. And you never had a celebration for me. It's because that he didn't recognize that he was always there. His joy should have never ended. If you have grown up in the church to the point where you cannot remember a Sunday where you were not in church, you should be a living saint. You should be up here, not me. But there is something that happens. And even those people who have had that experience, they say, like, wow, when I first got baptized, I was on fire. That first day, if God would have said, charge the gates of hell, I would have been on point. There was nothing that was going to stop me. But where are we today? Have we forgotten the importance of that day of baptism? And it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen to me. Believe me, I might be a pastor, but that day that I was baptized, I had dreams and visions of the things that were I was going to take charge of. And then, well, maybe I'll put that off. Maybe I'll put that off for another day. I'm kind of busy. How does that work out with your spouse? With the relationship you're on, if they ask you to do something, and you know it's for your good, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll do it. It might not be specifically for your good. It might be for the couple's good. Yeah, I'll get to it. It's not really that important. I've made it this far in life. My grandmother, I was going to share this story next week, but I guess I'm doing it now. My grandmother used to say, yeah, boys, they're undomesticated. And as a wife, it's our job to teach them how to become domesticated. And I remember when I first heard that, I was like, what are you talking about? I'm undomesticated. I remember this one time I still do it. I eat with my elbows on the table. And Julie is like, you eat like an electrician. I was like, wow. Well, I learned all kinds of things being married. Like, the bath mat is not supposed to get wet. I didn't know that. The toilet seat. I've never had a problem with the toilet seat because my brother left it up one day and I went to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning and I almost fell into hell myself. I thought I was going to die. And I've never left the toilet seat up since then. But apparently the lid is supposed to go down too. Is that important? Who knows? But I know that it makes Julia happy. And I'm okay with that. And that is the way that we have to approach Scripture. There are things in our lives that need to change. Something we might not see the importance of them until it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we go to sit down on the toilet and the toilet seat's up. And you fall, and you don't know when you're going to stop. If you have a habit of leaving the toilet seat up, this became a public service announcement. Put the seat down. There is a reason for it. But we have to look at those things, and we have to recognize that the changes that Scripture call for in our life, they might be hard and they might be difficult. They might not be what it is we want to do. But it is for our good. It is calling us into something more. As we prepare for communion today, I would just like each of us to take a moment to remember the reason we chose to be baptized If you haven't been baptized, or maybe you were forced or coerced into baptism, Scripture says that we should weigh the cost. Because if somebody told you that the Christian life was easy, they weren't really living the Christian life. Because the Christian life is a struggle. It is a struggle against the person that you used to be and the person that God is helping you to become. If you became a Christian because you thought everything was going to be sunshine and roses and it was going to cure all of your problems, you were misinformed. Because there is a battle, and it is a wrestling match. And some things you can walk away from immediately. But other things, it might take a while. And you just have to keep fighting. But we now have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us if we will allow it to take over the reins. And it was when we were baptized, we jumped on that opportunity to hand over the reins to God. So as we prepare for communion, I'd just take a moment to reflect on the sacrifice he made and why you accepted that sacrifice. To you who are choosing to walk in fellowship with God,